Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Chet Haas and the UI Toolkit team.
I'm Romain Guy from the Android Graphics team.
And today we have...
Ilyan Malchev, who leads Project Treble.
Treble. Okay, so the first we heard of Treble was, what, the week or two before I.O. there was a blog post, right?
Yes, yeah.
And then it was strangely quiet at I.O. because, hey, the blog post covered it, right?
Sure, yes, it did. We didn't want to create too much of a splash with the announcement. And I know, we didn't talk about Treble at I.O. because I.O. is, strictly speaking, developer-facing, and Treble was an infrastructural play.
Right.
And so it was felt that it wasn't necessary.
Right. Yeah, it's more about, it did come up at the fireside chat, and Dave talked about it a bit, but it's really more of a solution for end users that developers aren't involved in directly. So there wasn't really anything. It's not like we were going to have a session, because what could they actually do about that, right?
Right. If we do our job right, developers and the end consumer should start seeing benefits accrue to them with zero effort on their part.
Best API ever.
Yeah. So just to be clear, you're saying there's no API for Treble in the SDK. There's nothing that can affect applications directly, right?
That's absolutely true. Treble is all beneath the surface.
Right. Okay. So big step back then. What is Treble?
It is the engineering sort of an operational initiative that we started both internally at Google and is an outreach to all of our partners who develop Android devices to solve Android's fragmentation problem. I mean, that's sort of the PR answer, but I need to start with that.
Okay.
Is that good enough so far?
Should we call your PR person in here
to
vet your
message? That's me. Let me just change personalities. Okay. So
okay.
On the engineering side, well, I mean, Android fragmentation exists due to a small number of reasons that we all try to tackle with this initiative. The first one is essentially that devices that get launched on older silicon do not get good support for new Android versions. So that if you're, you know, like the Android space is basically, or the entire smartphone space is structured in high-end, mid-tier, and low-end segments. And every year, silicon vendors produce systems on a chip, you know, the CPUs that run Android devices or devices, starting with the high-end. And that is supported for the newest version of Android. But the next year and the year after that, that high-end moves to the mid-tier and then to the low-end, and so as it goes through its lifespan. But the fact is that for the most part, it does not see the same level of support in the subsequent years as when it did when it first launched.
So you're saying that part of the problem is that as the platform evolves and the platform requires more features, let's say, from the drivers, there's no support to make those drivers work with the new versions of Android.
Yes. And so, right, exactly. So if you visualize the operating system as having a top piece that is entirely divorced from the details of the hardware that it's running on, and a bottom piece that is sort of an adaptation to the hardware, it is the bottom piece that does not see much maintenance. And so historically with Android, we haven't been very formal about defining the boundary between the top and the bottom pieces of the OS. And on the engineering front, this is what Treble is. Basically, that's it. Defining a set of interfaces formally in a structured and versioned manner, and then committing to maintaining them. That's, in a nutshell, what the engineering part of Treble is for Android O.
When you say formal, I'm picturing there are like proofs and theses written in LaTeX, and it's just and then getting up and giving presentations in tuxedos. I assume this is what you're talking about.
Sure.
So we'll just take that as read. So when you say the bottom part of Android, defining interfaces there, are you talking about on top of the kernel, below the kernel, beside the kernel, like at what level?
Yes.
Okay.
All three categories are represented. Think about think about things in terms of major subsystems, such as camera, audio, location, sensors, Wi-Fi, telephony. These subsystems are the units for which we define treble interfaces with O. So let's take camera, for example, right? Camera is one of the most complex subsystems on Android because it is so deeply involved with graphics, with audio, with storage, with the display pipeline, and so on. And of course, we had an interface between the top piece and the drivers, sort of loosely speaking drivers. I'll talk about the nature of the interface later, but the drivers themselves span are a mixture of user space components, daemons, and whatnot that shuttle data to kernel interfaces, and then you have kernel drivers. But think of the camera subsystem, the hardware-specific part of it, as a mixture of everything. Kernel drivers, user space drivers, daemons.
Is there, it would help at least me to understand a little more concretely all the different moving pieces, like before and after. I don't know if there's like a simpler one that would be easier to understand.
A simpler one?
The hardware composer, for instance.
Okay.
You think that's simpler because you know it.
Well, it's simpler because it has only a single interface, and yes, it had an interface before. So the hardware composer, we had that episode with Matthias where we talked about this. This is what the window compositor Surface Finger on Android uses to put windows on screen. And so we had what we call HAL, a hardware abstraction layer, before, but this HAL could evolve at any time with any version of Android. And as part of Project Treble, it was formalized, and now it's versioned, and we're committed to it, and it has more capabilities. Like, we can ask the hardware, like, what can you do, what can you not do?
Yeah.
And that one is interesting because this was a user space, mostly piece, the hardware composer, that then talks to a kernel driver. But as far as we're concerned, like, what we put behind the Treble HAL was a user space bag of code.
So presumably it would change. You said it can change at any time, which means the drivers need to update to whatever the changes are. Changes aren't made arbitrarily, right? They're made because hardware evolves, because there are new features that demand more capabilities from drivers. So we still
think
have
the
that.
Key is what Hélène said earlier, that now it's formal. And one way we're doing that is what we're using a lot in some of our implementations. For instance, we had a lot of compile time variables. You know, when you create a new Android device, we have these configuration files, and at compile time, we can set those variables that say, hey, this device can do X, it can do Y. So now with Treble, this has changed. We cannot do those compile time variables anymore because, you know, as you try to evolve your interfaces, that would not necessarily work across multiple devices with different capabilities. So instead now, we have to query the HAL to know, like, what the hardware can do. And as a result, like, the platform code has to be more flexible and has to adapt to the capabilities of various devices in the same compilation unit, really.
Yeah, and that's a very important point. The being more formal about the interfaces means that we can no longer break them willy-nilly. Just the interface, once published, is frozen. So immutable interfaces is a major sort of theme of this work.
But they are versioned, right?
And they yes, and to get around the need to modify them as they evolve, we introduced the notion of versioning, basically semantic versioning. All these interfaces now have major and minor versions, with minor version uprevs, meaning that the new thing is backwards compatible with the old thing. And the framework going forward needs to commit to, and will commit, of course, to supporting a range of versions, so that the framework can support the universe of devices that are outstanding.
Okay, so...
So we basically made our life harder.
Yeah,
But for the benefit of users and the ecosystem.
We are willing to sacrifice ourselves for our users. So I'm imagining that some future release could come out where in the previous world, that low-end device in some emerging country would not get that new version because they're not doing updates to the drivers and the hardware support there.
Yeah.
But now The manufacturer or somebody along the way could actually update to the new system because it will compatibly run on the older drivers that are running on it. Is that right? Because if they're not the old world drivers, but treble drivers, like if they adhere to the interface of treble that came out at that time, then a future version of the framework, a future version of the Android system could actually run on that older version.
That's
of treble.
That's correct. And I mean, a formal interface is really a formal contract, not in a legal sense, of course, but between two groups of engineers. And yes, just what you said. The other thing that is important to note is that now that we have these immutable versioned interfaces that create a sort of a trail of versions of themselves over time, we introduced the second concept, which we call the deprecation schedule. Now with Android O, we are going to have a way to know for every given device exactly which house, which interfaces it implements at which version. And we're going to have a way to just look at the universe and see, okay, what will happen if we drop support for this old version of that interface? How many devices will not be eligible anymore to get a new upgrade? We'll be able to make a data-driven decision about this sort of thing. And that's great because previously we really didn't have that kind of data. These interfaces were where they did exist, as in the case of the Hardware Composer, they were informal. They were not being enforced by anything. And then I suppose that was the third theme, which is the immutability of these interfaces is now checked by a new test suite akin to CTS that we call VTS for Vendor Test Suite.
Okay. And then on the other side, manufacturers will then know for all of the subsystems on their device and the versions of those subsystems, whether it's going to run with the new version, because the new version will publish whatever HAL versions it goes back to.
Correct. And that is the non-engineering aspect to this whole thing. You know, we have direct and sustained lines of communication and engineering sort of outreach with the various players in the Android ecosystem.
Yeah.
I should note, if that's not too much detail, but I should note that if you think about how Android devices are manufactured, you know, there's a silicon vendor, right? There are 10 of them in the world or so, companies like Qualcomm, MediaTek, LSI, Spreadtrum, Intel. Did I say Intel twice?
No, just once.
Just once.
Now you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intel, that's three times.
Yeah.
But anyway, and it is these companies that manufacture systems on a chip that underpin the actual Android devices. The fan out from these few companies to the thousands upon thousands of phones and tablets out there is massive. And so those treble interfaces, such as the Hardware Composer, HAL, and Camera, and so on, they start with the silicon vendors. And so by working directly with these companies, we essentially solve the problem to a very, very large degree at the source prior to that fan out. We cannot possibly go to each one of the hundreds upon hundreds of OEMs and tell them, hey, we're doing this. Can you change those things, right? We instead go to the silicon vendors of the world and work with them so that as the fan out happens, everybody benefits from the work that we do.
Okay. All right. So when this gets out, you know, in the real world, and we do have these trailing versions of interfaces and treble out there in the real world, then it's not that we're still not in a position where we can just push our system image and give all these magical updates to devices, but now there's always an incentive for manufacturers to adopt the latest stuff, but there wasn't a way for them to do it realistically. And now there's a way, and then hopefully they get on board with updating more aggressively because they're not risking their devices not working anymore, right?
That's right. Like the single push, the single button push update of the entire universe is a kind of nirvana that we would like to be able to get to one day, and this is perhaps one of the stepping stones. But it is important to note that it is Google's explicit policy to, with whatever we do with Android, to never hurt the ability of the operating system to be customized, right? This is one of Android's strengths. The be together, not the same meme is all about that. So everything that we do with Treble and in general is always sort of refracted through that particular lens.
No, but what's interesting is that if you're an OEM and you've customized Android, the Treble is removing one of the biggest reasons why you would not push an update, because, you know, if you don't have support for a driver and you're an OEM, like, you can't do much about this.
That's exactly right.
Whereas now, like, it's all about their own code and their own decisions.
Exactly.
And, like, they're in better control of their own product.
Yeah.
So when you were describing what this interface mechanism was, in my mind, like, I was mapping it onto OpenGL or sort of standard interfaces that are out there. It doesn't seem revolutionary. It basically seems like, yeah, this makes sense.
This is 1970s operating system concepts brought into the 21st century.
Okay, yeah. It's just that we're finally getting there. So we're not saying, hey, brave new thing for Android. It's more like, okay, now that we're mature and stable, we need to actually fix
some part of the ways, it's very similar from an engineering standpoint. Like, you know, if we take a step back, of course, and we don't go into too many details, two things we already had on the platform, like we have binder interfaces between various processes, mm-hmm. and the idea is more or less the same, where you have this abstract interface that's remote and that you can talk to. Now, the biggest difference here is all the versioning and, you know, formality of the contracts and all that. But yeah, from a technical standpoint, I know that you and your team have been doing a lot of amazing work. And actually, I would love to go into some of the details of the work, because some of it's actually pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Especially, I think the side effects of Treble are good for the platform way beyond the fragmentation issue, because we touched on this a little bit when I said that, you know, we have to be more formal. So we have to be a little cleaner in our interfaces. But there are things like if you can start talking about the VNDK, for instance, it had a lot of effects on the layering of the libraries internally and our dependencies, and I think the platform is much better for it.
Yeah, I can talk about the VNDK, and also actually I wanted to go back real quick and just talk about Binder specifically. Yeah. To my mind, Binder is one of the most brilliant architectural components of Android. It truly sets us apart. There's nothing innovative conceptually about Binder. In fact, it's something of a mixture of concepts by itself. It mixes remote procedure calls and in an inter-process communication thing and fuses these two concepts together, but does so quite powerfully. Binder is really what makes Android possible. And we, in fact, use Binder for Treble to reimagine the old HAL interfaces. Where the Hardware Composer HAL prior to Android O was a shared library. That was the concept of a HAL in Android. HAL, of course, standing for Hardware Abstraction Layer.
And importantly, it lived inside the process of SurfaceFinger.
Yes, and it lived inside the process of its client process. And note that this would be vendor code in most cases. And it's being vendor code, you really could do nothing more than assume that it had that it was properly vetted, tested, and so on. This was outside of the purview of Google, where Android devices are concerned. Well, now, the biggest change with Treble, as Roman alluded to, is we use Binder to move the Hardware Composer HAL and all the other subsystems into their own processes. And so now, we use Binder and built an interface description language on top of it that we call HIDL for HAL IDL. That sort of mimics C. You can define structs and unions and arrays and interfaces and whatnot.
It's like the AIDL files for Android.
Right. In fact, it is inspired by AIDL, but AIDL really serves a different purpose. AIDL is meant to define abstract interfaces, which is far too flexible when you're looking at lower levels of the system. Like the Hardware Composer HAL, the old interface had a bunch of structs and unions and things like that that you couldn't describe in AIDL, because AIDL expressly sort of eschews the notion of structured data and defining it in the language. Whereas in HIDL, you define structs. Like the old Hardware Composer structs are now HIDL structs and unions and whatnot. And you auto-generate code to C++ and Java, so you can have your client and your server be either C++ or Java. And of course, it's a bit of a travesty to think of a HAL being implemented in Java if you're a native sort of systems developer like me, but we have some HALs implemented in Java, in fact. And the Hardware Composer HAL is, of course, native code because it needs to be performant, but it runs in its own process, and that has massive security implications beyond the effort to fix updates. And in fact, I think a blog post came out just yesterday on the Android
July
developers 18. Blog. Yeah.
Well, and more selfishly, what's very interesting about having our HALs in separate processes is on both sides of the fence. So for us developers on the Android team and for developers like OEM developers or driver developers, now because we have this separation between the two pieces of code, when there's a bug, let's say a memory leak, you know, it used to be we would have a bug report and they would be like, oh, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. Oh, wait, it's my fault. That doesn't happen anymore because we have this clear separation between the vendor code and the platform code, and it becomes a lot easier to track those problems down, which could take quite a lot of work prior to that.
Debugability also is much improved. I mean, the blame game is, or formerly called triage, is most of solving a bug, right?
Yeah.
And that is just made easier because you could automatically say, hey, is this HAL crashing? If so, then it's probably not the framework's fault. The bug must be most likely in the HAL itself. Hmm. Whereas before, you just didn't know because both the HAL and the framework crashed.
Now, to get back to your point, Chet, you mentioned OpenGL as a form of a HAL, which is effectively is a HAL for GPUs. But one of the things we did with Treble by putting all the HALs, or most of the HALs, I don't know if it's all or most of them, behind in separate processes, now we have those remote calls across processes. And, you know, Binder and HID on that is extremely optimized, but it's always going to be more expensive than a local function call. So something like OpenGL, we cannot put it into a remote process because an application will typically make hundreds or thousands of calls to OpenGL, and just the overhead of going across processes would be way too much for the kind of performance we're trying to achieve on Android. So for instance, in Surface Flinger, we try to run at 1 millisecond or less, and calling into a remote process takes a couple hundred microseconds, and you know that's a big part of your budget. So our HALs tend to be higher level than some people might expect. For that reason, also, it gives us more flexibility in implementation and, you know, writing up the APIs.
Just a slight correction there, Roman. I actually see about 40 microseconds round trip time on our Pixel hardware, but that's still much, much, much slower than a direct function call.
Wait, so I didn't understand how you got to the final point where it's better than that. So if things are going through binders and into separate processes, don't we suffer that overhead?
We do, but there's a couple of points that we could make about this. In many cases, that doesn't matter because in the cases where it does matter, as Roman
like
said, we had to re-architect parts of the interaction between the framework and the HAL by lifting up the HAL interface itself to be a higher level version of itself so that you would cross that IPC divide fewer times.
Okay.
And in fact, we had a late sort of landing Hardware Composer HAL change.
Late is a nice way to put it.
that really saved the day. We were seeing serious regressions on some of our micro benchmarks with GL, and that sort of change took out most of the IPC traffic that you see on a per frame basis.
So is the OpenGL driver still in a separate process though?
Like, so do we the still OpenGL have driver, model? Actually a lot of an OpenGL driver is in user space. The kernel side of an OpenGL driver is actually a lot smaller than people might think. So we keep all that in process. And like I said before, you know, because there's a bit more overhead to those remote calls, GL is not the kind of API you want to put behind it.
And here, what really helps us is go back to the principle of it, formal interfaces, right? And enforcing that formal interface. Well, thankfully, OpenGL is a formal interface driven by an external body. So not only that, it is an ABI stable interface. You know that if you link your code, if you compile your client code with whatever C, it's all C linkage, then it would just work with a GL driver. So we have ABI stability with OpenGL a priori, and we didn't even need to think about sort of separating it out into its own process. And, and if we did, it would have been a massive bottleneck.
Right. No, but that leads to another one of the other challenges of Treble in terms of implementation. So let's say now we have our HAL in a remote process, and you know the platform gets updated, but the HAL does not get updated. Well, until now, a lot of the implementations of those HALs were using some of Android's internal libraries. We have, you know, for native code, we have things like the libutil and the libgui that's used by the graphics HALs. So if the platform comes with a new version of those libraries that's not compatible with the old HAL, what happens?
The VNDK.
Yeah, and so that's where like a lot of work went into, and we did a lot of cleanup in the platform.
Yes, yeah. At I/O at the Fireside Chat, I think you alluded to Matthias almost losing his mind in the process, and I'm very happy that he didn't, but he almost did. What Roman is alluding to is both that vendor code that implements these various HALs as well as framework code have very good reason to use common libraries. An obvious example is the C library.
Yep.
We're lucky with the C library because that's NDK and that's stable because it's a public-facing SDK, it's an SDK API. But there are many others, libutils being an example that an application will never see, but the framework uses all the time. And because the framework uses it all the time, but apps don't, we never had a promise of ABI stability for that library, and with good reason. So the VNDK is an attempt to have your cake and eat it too, in that without promising ABI stability, we end up making it possible for vendor code and the framework to use that library. And the way we do it is if the framework moves forward relative to vendor code and uses a new and potentially ABI incompatible version of that library, then we quietly create a snapshot of it and let vendor code use its own copy and the framework use its own copy. It's
It means we still have to be careful, right? In the HAL interfaces themselves, we cannot have objects that could be incompatible because of those changes.
Right, right. So the implication is that any information that crosses the system vendor boundary must cross that boundary via the approved interfaces.
So I wanted to ask about that in versioning. So you were talking about the HIDL interfaces before, the pseudo C code where you define structures and structs and unions and stuff, right? How do you define that in a way that it can be versioned?
We structure HAL interfaces into packages like you do with AIDL. Each package, I'm going to answer your question. I just want to give you a little bit of background. Each package contains data type definitions in its own file and zero or more interfaces. And the entire package is given a name and a version and is frozen, right? If you uprev this, let's say you want to add a field to a struct.
Yeah, then it's an entirely new
package. It's an entirely new package. Yeah. And we have an inheritance mechanism in HIDL where we call it package. We have various types of inheritance. We have package level and interface level inheritance. You can do the minor uprevved version of the package. Let's say from 1.0 to 1.1, you added a field to some struct. It could literally just package inherit from the old one, redefine the struct using just like you would in C, include the version 1.0 of the struct and the version 1.1 of the struct and tack the new field at the end.
Yeah.
So and so what's the granularity of those packages?
They can be as sparse as just a data type, and they could be as sophisticated as, I mean, you could have zero or more interfaces, and each interface is just, that's an AIDL type interface with methods and its own private data types and whatnot. So it could be as complicated as you could make it in the unholy mixture of C and Java that we
have. But so in practice, does that mean we have a Wi-Fi package, a Bluetooth package?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, yeah. Yes, we have about 60 of those as of Android O. actually slightly fewer because we kept adding after we launched O, but let's say 60 HIDL packages. And, you know, camera, Wi-Fi, telephony.
And stuff. We have a special one, right? We have the config store.
The config store, yes. Yeah.
So the config store is, you know, earlier I said that we used to have a lot of compile time variables, and they've been superseded by the config store, which itself can use compile time variables.
Right.
But it's effectively an interface where, for instance, SurfaceFlinger will say, hey, does this device support HDR? And that's a HAL that its only job is to say yes or no.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, Android up until Android O was really expected to be monolithically built out of all pieces, vendor piece and the framework piece and everything in between. And as part of Treble, Project Treble and the ongoing updates effort, we have split the build. And that means that there can be no compile time dependencies between framework code and vendor code. And removing, and this means, like, you know, in a make file, you have some flag, and that flag manifests itself as a pound define in C or C++, and that ends up altering framework code on a per device basis. We had to do away with all of that, and we did away with all of it by changing these compile time decisions to runtime checks. And the config store HAL stores the values.
So what's interesting is that, you know, we talked about being able to update the platform on top of older HALs, but in theory, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like with the config store, we could not update the framework and update the HALs, and certainly a feature that was not supported on that device, let's say HDR or whatever, could certainly work.
Absolutely.
If the hardware supports it, of course.
But. Absolutely. It cuts both ways. We start out with the assumption that the HAL bits don't get all the TLC they need over time, but that the framework does.
Yeah.
But if that assumption doesn't hold, you could update them and not touch the framework.
So now that we have a complete understanding of how everything's implemented and works, so what's the adoption story then? Are we done? So you said you had added things recently that may not be in the current O build. So currently there's work ongoing, but it's in a...
I would say that, I mean, if I were to randomly assign percentages to things, I would say that 80% of everything that we needed to do, engineering-wise and operationally, we've accomplished with Android O.
Oh, you're in trouble. You have the last 20%.
I know.
We know what that means.
Job security, yes. That's what it means.
Job security to the rescue. And, you know... Android is a living, almost breathing thing. It's a software project, and it keeps
almost breathing means not breathing, which means dead. So that I'm not sure I'd go with that metaphor, but okay. All right.
As in, it is so complicated, it might take on a biological life of its own, what I was trying to allude to. But note it, I will not. I will shy away from zombie type metaphors. And so these HAL, one thing that will keep on happening is we will keep evolving the HAL interfaces. The hardware composer HAL will keep on evolving as things happen, right?
And there will be new pieces of hardware, new sensors, new capabilities. Yeah.
Yes. And what's next for us is, I think with what we've done, if you want to visualize it somehow, is we've defined a foundation for the building that is Android. Going forward, we want to look into ways into making that building a modular home without the negative implication that a modular home comes with. Like, Android itself keeps getting customized, you know, massively by everybody. And again, we do not want to hurt the ability for these customizations to happen. We want to create a mechanism for them to happen in a structured manner, so that if you do something outside of open source Android, you have a good degree of certainty that we won't do something in the future to mess with you.
Right.
Again, defining interfaces, that's one theme. Going back to O, though, we have compatibility requirements with O. So every device getting launched with O will have to pass this new VTS test suite against the HALs. Additionally to that, and this is what really makes me happy, as far as this is concerned. We have made it possible with that work to have the generic AOSP system image that we produce as part of our platform release process run automatically by definition on every new O device launch. Ooh. And we use that image to run CTS on. So,
which traditionally was difficult because it had driver dependencies that you couldn't necessarily get.
Yeah, it was borderline impossible, right? Yeah. Because those interfaces were just, there was no promise of them at all working across one vendor from one vendor to another. And so that sounds like a very obscure thing, but it's truly a massive milestone for Android in that, you know, to go back to the analogy of that building with a defined foundation, we say, here's a foundation, really put whatever building you want on it as long as you pass CTS, you know, the app compatibility test suite, but really do anything you want. What we're saying now is, not only did we define this foundation, but there's a standard building that we give that must be able to rest on that foundation. If you take some time to think about what that means, it means that it serves as an impetus, as a reason for our partners to stay as close to the trunk as possible. There are always, almost always ways, you know, 15 different ways to do what you want. And the existence of the pure reference system image that I'm talking about and the requirement that it be able to run on that vendor, on that base, it means that of those 15 choices you have for everything you want to do to Android to customize it, you'll be steered towards doing it in a way that doesn't break that invariant.
Right.
That in turn, over time, hopefully over not too long of a time, will end up reducing the delta between the open source version of Android and all of the other variants of it.
Yep. I love the image that we're defining the foundation for Android. So we've helped build this massive skyscraper, and now we're going underneath it and we're putting a foundation.
We just lifted the skyscraper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like the Millennium Tower, right, in San Francisco. It's not.
Yes. and you know, I've been on Android for a little over 10 years, and this is, I don't think there's ever been something remotely even close to the complexity of Treble in terms of infrastructure change to the platform. Because, you know, the platform has evolved, and we replaced a few things, like, you know, the way we rendered the UI, but this is like a change that affected everything, the entire platform. It was done like mostly transparently for engineers at Google working on Android. And more importantly, it's going to be completely transparent to app developers and users. And like, you know, what you and your team have achieved is really amazing. I did
code stats the other day. We had upwards of 300 developers within Android engineering itself contributing to this. So across 30 teams. Yeah. So, you know, Roman's team with the graphics being one of them, it's been a massive...
Yeah, I mean, really, almost like every team that needs a HAL like was involved in the process, and it was done also pretty quickly, which is that much more.
Yeah,
amazing.
within one release, like getting it there, and I think the amazing part to me is not just that so many teams and people were involved internally, but also externally. This means, as you said, that the partners had to do their part and actually shoehorn their drivers in some way into these contracted interfaces, right?
It had to be a collaborative effort with our partners. We cannot, you know, we don't live in an ivory tower as much as we might like to. We are one piece of a tapestry of engagements, and we had to work with all of our partners. And actually, you know, it took, I think, as much time as the engineering effort took, and that was really front-loaded towards the latter half of 2016 and 2017 until now. The legwork for that started in late 2015 with reaching out to partners and explaining what we want to do and getting their commitment and just soliciting support.
Right.
And also outreach. You know, we have now teams in Taiwan and Seoul and San Diego dedicated to working with our major partners, with the silicon vendors, in their own time zone and in their own sort of backyard.
I was going to ask what's the uptake from partners, but you answered it already, which is if they're shipping an O device, they are shipping treble.
So I imagine the implication of you saying that if you ship an O device, you have treble. If you shipped a device that was, let's say, on N or M and updates to O, is treble mandatory, or do we have some sort of grandfathering? Or
We have grandfathering. Okay. Grandfathering. Sorry, English is not my first language. I think I just said something that sounded like feather. We have a yes, that if a device is getting upgraded from N or older revision to O, treble does not apply, and that is as it should be, because we cannot solve the problem retroactively. It is impossible. Having said that, we actually solved the problem retroactively for the Pixel 2016 devices, which run on an SoC from Qualcomm, which Qualcomm was very gracious to lend to reinvigorate support for that project for us. What happens with upgraded devices is the framework itself thinks it's talking to a treble device. But the fact that we have this HIDL interface, and where we don't, OpenGL is a stable binary interface, means that we can shim things to, we can lie to the framework telling it that, hey, this device is treble, but in fact, these HALs are running in what we call pass-through mode, where, like, for example, the Hardware Composer HAL is not its own process, but it continues to be loaded in the context of its client, which in this case is the Surface Flinger. And
It's similar to regular binder, where
yes,
when you use binder, like, you could be talking to something that's in another process, or it can be local to your process.
Yes.
And you don't know, you don't need to care, which
exact
is
exact same concept. Yeah. Right. Having said that, we are working with some, you know, it's not for me to say who that is, but we are working with some companies to upgrade their flagship devices to O while trebleizing them fully. Some companies want to do that in order to see how it works. You know, there's an element of expertise here. Until you do it, you haven't done it. You know, until you do it, you haven't learned everything that you need to learn about the process. So some companies are choosing to upgrade their devices to O while trebleizing the underlying foundation. But yes, devices on the upgrade path are exempt from treble.
But like you said, like, there's not that many silicon vendors. So once most of them or all of them have treble as interfaces on top of their drivers, like...
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it will fan out to everyone.
It's the fan out that makes this whole thing worth trying, even.
Yeah.
All right, then. So I was curious before we closed off about some of the other things that you've done. So you were here when I got here, which is only 7+ years ago. And apparently you were here a long time before that.
Yeah.
So you've worked, I think a lot of the people that were on early Android, you were pre 1.0. A lot of those people worked on kind of everything.
Yeah, we were, you know, with every new project. Roman just joined a few months after I did. I joined in June 2016.
2006, probably.
2006. Six. Yeah. Off by 10.
Yeah.
Cool,
yeah, 2006. It's been 11 years now for me. Well, back then there were, I don't know, 30 people in the entire Android project.
Wow.
Diane obviously was already there.
Well, she's like 30 people.
Yeah, so. She's like 30 people. So yeah, I guess 60 people. I joined Android into the systems team, system/kernel team. Basically, if you didn't write Java, you were the systems team, and there were three of us. I was the third person. Early on, yeah, just like you said, there was so much to do and so little time, and a sense of, I don't know, manifest destiny. I don't know. There was a sense of, well, you have to do that, and we have to do it right, that everybody just rushed and got things done, even though they didn't necessarily know what they were doing. And that definitely includes me.
That shows in some of the early APIs.
Yeah.
Or actually, I mean, it's related to Treble, right? It is why some of the foundational bits weren't necessarily there because the entire team was rushing so fast to finish
it. It was actually one of the things that I always found the most interesting and also like one of the scarce things about working on Android in the early days that, you know, you have to ship because, you know, we need to go to market. We need to get a new version of Android out because we want to expand our market. And we had, and it was really difficult to know what corners can we cut. Like, you know, where should we focus on making an API that's future-proof? Where can we have an implementation that we can change later on? And, you know, for some things, I think we did an amazing job. Other things, obviously, like we've seen that in the UI toolkit, we have a few widgets that maybe should not be there.
I should come clean, actually. The camera HAL V1 interface I did, and I don't know anything about cameras, so we're paying for this mistake. This is like Treble is karmic justice for me.
No, but someone had to do it. So.
The painful thing is, the camera HAL, the camera subsystem, it has to this day two major versions: one, which yours truly is responsible for, and three, which a bunch of people with PhDs in imaging did. And three is the right thing and the awesome thing. But 90% of the ecosystem is still on one because it is such a loose interface that allows you to do whatever you want. It has something called take picture, start recording, and set property and get property. Just opening a big, wide hole into the interface to do whatever you want.
And we don't talk about two.
We don't talk about two. But it's just everything was such a rush to get things done. Well, they were good times. These are good times too. Like, it's nice to have a large organization with people who, you know, are doing things the right way.
Oh, yeah, I think there's something, just as engineers, there's something, you know, extremely interesting about like writing new code when you start from scratch, the early days. But today, doing things like Treble, like this amazing intellectual challenge of fixing an entire platform in a way without disrupting anything.
Yeah.
And doing it in a way that, you know, yeah, doesn't affect the API, doesn't affect stability, doesn't affect performance. That's a very different challenge on its own. And
rebuilding the plane while it's flying.
Yeah. It's funny, every time I think about those, I always have in my head this picture of the movie Hot Shot. It's ridiculous, but it's like the hero thinks about his father, like the way he died, and you see him on his jet fighter, like trying to staple the wing. While trying to land the plane. It feels like that sometimes, but...
That's kind of like how it was.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies, by the way.
Hopefully we do a good job at stapling the wings.
Yeah, it's... I don't think that anything that happened with Android historically or architecturally should have happened in a different way. You have a growth phase for any project, and you have to cut corners. You have to just... It's a mad rush. Android is as successful as it is due to its flexibility, and that comes with
It's part of shipping, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, you get to a certain point, you have to start paying your debts.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. You're able to fundamentally fix things, I think, because the API, you're creating the API constraints that we have at the SDK level. Like, a lot of the pain that we feel right now is not necessarily fixable other than coming out with something else instead.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
Because those are APIs. They have to keep working for the apps that are out there. And what you're doing now is you are defining those API interfaces. So 10 years from now, you're going to say, oh.
What was I thinking?
There's a lot of good parallels to be drawn between Treble and SDK APIs, definitely. Like, the SDK APIs have to be ABI stable, more strongly so than the Treble ones, because, as you said, they are developer-facing, and app 10 years from now has to keep on working.
Right. And so, they're not versioned, so you actually have that as a benefit.
No, but it's good to see. I mean, you are mentioning the VNDK, for instance. I find it extremely interesting that you basically took an SDK approach to solving the problem where there's an actual VNDK and there's a suite of tests, and there's a whitelisting of libraries you can link against. So there's a lot, like, you're giving a lot of help to whoever's going to implement those HALs to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. The VNDK, you know, like, the everybody knows about DLL HAL, you know, from the Windows days, and it's modern-day incarnation in Linux and macOS, and I guess still in Windows. We did not want to solve the problem by recreating DLL hell. That was one of my hell no things. So instead, we created what I like to call a static hell, where you take a snapshot of things on a per-release basis, and then you look at how things change from one release to the next and fork what has changed. What is attendant to this is a notion of ABI stability checks against native libraries that we have put in place in O, and we will start actually enforcing in P, where as a developer, like if you're an Android developer or an Android systems developer at Google or at Samsung, and you want to make a change to libjpg, which is a VNDK library, it'll tell you if you make that change in an ABI breaking manner. Because if you go ahead with that and commit that change, that means that down the line we'll have to fork that library in a different snapshot. So we want to have a bit of a speed bump to slow people down or to make them at least think as they're making a change to native code.
Yeah, and that is a great thing, because I was alluding to that earlier, but we did a lot of cleanup in the platform because we have all those native libraries, and you know, we had this beautiful layering system early on. But you know, as more and more people start working on them, and it's easy to introduce dependencies where you shouldn't have them or to have circular dependencies. And we ended up with ridiculous situations. Like I remember Matthias somehow found that something related to audio through transitive dependencies ended up depending on OpenGL.
Yeah.
just because, you know, you add that one include and you don't realize that it's part of a library that itself has a dependency on GL. So we know we've broken up a lot of those libraries into smaller pieces. We did a lot of cleanup, put those layers back in shape again. And I think that's going to be one of the challenges for the platform going forward, is making sure we keep that clean and sane.
And I think keeping it clean means creating rules against messing things
up.
Which I would love to be able to extend the nature of versioning that we put in between the framework and the vendor code deep inside the framework. I would like to be able to introduce the notion of versioning to AIDL, for example, so that if another OEM wants to customize a framework component, they can do so, knowing that they're coding to a frozen version of that component. As you said out at the outset, at the beginning of this podcast, Chet, we are bending over backwards so that our customers can be happy, right? So that the end users of Android and app developers can be happy. So if it means taking on more burden inside the framework, then I think we should do that. But that's one of our future.
Yep.
It's just remaining 20%.
It's remaining 20%.
So it should be done soon then.
Yeah. All right. Next month.
All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.